dear brethren, from that hymn, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I believe that's going to be our theme throughout glory, is it not? Amen. As I get situated here, you might be turning to the book of Jude. The book of Jude. That little book before the book of the Revelation. And we're going to break in the book, little book of Jude, in verse 21. Now, we considered this particular verse in some detail Wednesday night. We're reading it again to you for reference. Hide it in the back of your mind and your heart as we proceed this morning. Jude says to God's own, he says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Keep yourselves in the love of God, Jude says. And now, Galatians, the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Well, we have now concluded our studies into trials of life and how they relate to the Christian life, and we're leaving those behind us. And this past Wednesday night, we began a new series of studies into the grand and Christ-exalting subject of Christian love. You know, the Bible is totally unique among all of the world's religions in its approach to what true love actually is and how God's love is manifested and shown not only in a direct way to unregenerate men in the world, but how God's love itself flows through the Christian to those around him. Now, God instructed his children in the Old Testament, in both Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also in Leviticus chapter 19. But he instructed his children to first love God with all of their heart, soul, and mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself, when he was on the earth, said that this was the first great commandment of the law. And the second great commandment, according to our Lord, was to love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew chapter 22. Now, these two things are vitally connected. That is, the first, loving God, and then the second, your neighbor. The truth of the matter is, I cannot love my neighbor as myself without first loving God. Now, these two great commandments of the law are not two separate, unconnected commandments. The second is dependent and springs forth from the first commandment. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ said it is the first commandment. The first. Now, love for others, that is our neighbor, both regenerated, that is my fellow Christian, and the unregenerate, must first spring from and flow from my love for God. And that's the first commandment. And it wasn't until the Lord Jesus Christ came upon the world's scene that this unique type of love could be perfectly seen and observed by men. And this they surely did. Men saw the blind given sight and the diseased healed. They saw the ferocity and the fearsomeness of nature and not natural laws subdued and controlled, and they saw the dead raised again. All of these were supernatural manifestations of God's love. But there was one of which all of the others paled in comparison. The Apostle Paul captured this thought in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 that you can see to my right, to your right, my left. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, that word commended, of course, means to demonstrate. To demonstrate. This we know. Now, this was and is the essence and the essential quality of God's love. God's love toward me, and then in turn, my love for others as a Christian, is always shown and demonstrated in a real, tangible, and outwardly visible way. In fact, it is the same way that Jesus Christ demonstrated His love to me when He died for me on man's terrible invention, a Roman cross. And mark this well, dear ones, God's love always, always involves self-sacrifice and giving of self. Love does not just happen to the Christian. It must universally involve a giving of myself. The most wondrous and amazing example of this kind of love toward all men of all time was found and exhibited in the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Only He could totally and completely and personally fulfill the first two great and royal commandments of the Old Testament Scriptures. And this He did most wondrously and most magnificently when He went to a Roman cross of shame, thereby demonstrating and proving His love, God's love, to you and me. Now please understand, these two great commandments from the Old Testament have never been done away with. Now, I as a Christian am to practice and prioritize them today. And even more so, for Christ has provided you and I a better and a superior way than the Old Testament law. This is why Christ said in John chapter 13, in verse 34, He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, the astonishing truth about all of this is that that same quality of love that Christ exhibited can be shown forth in those who have trusted and relied on His atoning death for them. And by so doing, have become His children and have been given His Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Nevertheless, the same quality of God's self-sacrificing love can be shown forth in God's Spirit-controlled people today. And note this well. It is only by His Spirit that I can exhibit and perform God's unique, extraordinary, self-sacrificing love toward God and toward men. And Galatians chapter 5 here in verse 22 makes this clear. Now, you recall that I said that this special, unique love of God does not just happen in the Christian's life. In fact, this love is a product and a result of God's Spirit working in the Christian's heart. Now, when I use this word heart, hopefully it should bring into our minds all of those matters that we have dealt with in previous studies concerning my heart as a child of God. Remember, we have learned from many scriptures that my doing as a Christian is always a direct result of my being, my inward man. It is impossible for me to bring glory to God without the proper heart and the proper heart motivation before my God. It's impossible. And this same divine principle is emphatically and decidedly true in regards to God's love coming out of me and being produced through me. The Spirit of God simply cannot work in a heart that is not humbled and contrite to Him. It cannot. Now, Wednesday night, we looked at Jude 21, and I remind you, it says, as we have read, keep yourselves in the love of God. Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, Wednesday night, we saw that keeping ourselves in the love of God is something that I do as a Christian. I am commanded there in Jude to keep myself in the love of God. And this implies that I, as a Christian, can get out of the love of God. If I, as a child of God, am told that it is my responsibility to keep myself in God's love, then it necessitates that I can disobey this command and let myself get out of His love. Now, that raised the question, what gets me out of the love of God? What could possibly do that? Well, the answer is, in short, sin. Sin. Now, when this happens, does God stop loving me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8:39. So what has happened? What has happened? My fellowship with God is broken, and my sin is blocking God's dealings with me, and I cannot benefit from His love to me, nor can I show it to others in the way that He desires me to. We need to understand this. Sin blocks love from God, and it blocks the outgoing love from my heart to others. Now, this is one of the major reasons that I deal with my own heart and confess my sins to God. Unconfessed sin has many spiritual consequences. It can affect my joy in this life. It can affect reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And just as importantly, it can affect my ability to show God's love to others. But remember, from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 here, love is a fruit and a product of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is grieved and quenched by sin in my life. I cannot produce God's unique, special, self-sacrificing love in my life and at the same time harbor sin. The Bible does not allow this. The two are completely incompatible. I must keep myself in the love of God by constantly confessing my sin and judging my heart before God. Please hide that in your heart. This is the key to keeping myself in the love of God. Well, now let's take a little closer look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 here. Let's read them again for context. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, I want you to notice something here which is of the utmost importance. What is the very first virtue and characteristic mentioned of the fruit of the Spirit in me as a child of God? It is love. You see that? It's love. Now, this is not mere happenstance, dear ones. It is not an accident that love is mentioned first. It is there by God's design. Why does the Holy Spirit place it there first at the very beginning? Well, notice, if you would, all of the following qualities and virtues that are listed in verses 22 and 23. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness or kindness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness or gentleness, and temperance or self-control. Now, do you see that all of these following virtues are a product of, are in fact produced by the very first? That is love. Love. God's self-sacrificing love will produce long-suffering and patience, especially in regards to others. Love will produce kindness and gentleness. Love will produce goodness. Love for God will produce faithfulness. And love will even produce joy and peace in my heart and in the hearts of others. So love is listed first because all of the others are a product of and blossom forth from the greatest of all virtues. God's self-sacrificing, self-denying love. This is why the Apostle Paul could say in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that love never fails. Love never fails. Paul said there is faith. There is faith. And he said there is hope. Those three. But the greatest of these, he said, is love. And remember well, love is a divine attribute that always manifests itself and displays itself in deed and in action. And these deeds and actions are never, never self-serving. They are always self-denying and self-sacrificing, even in the face of the sins of others. This was the love exhibited by our Lord Jesus Christ when he said in 1 Peter chapter 2, we had it read to us this morning, when he was reviled, he reviled not again. That, dear ones, is love. But also remember, according to Galatians chapter 5 here, God's love is only produced by his indwelling spirit. It cannot be produced by our old man, the flesh. It cannot be. Divine love and its companions, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance can only be produced by the indwelling Spirit of Christ. Now, please understand that the chief and principal fruit of God's Spirit in me is His divine love. All of the other aspects of this fruit of the Spirit mentioned here flows out of that first love. Let's get this in our minds. Now, we would like to now focus on some of the practical aspects of this Spirit-induced fruit of love. Some practical aspects. Practically speaking, why do I, as a Christian, have such difficulty in loving others? Why do I have such difficulty in loving my unsaved friends? In loving my unsaved co-workers? And difficulty in loving my unsaved relatives. But also, why do I have difficulty in loving other members of the body of Christ? Why is that? Now, these all important questions, and they are all important. If the first and the second great and royal commandments are to love God and then love those around me, my neighbor, then the answers to these questions are very, very important to each one of us. Now, let me suggest to you some answers which are derived from the Bible. First of all, because this unique love from God is a self-sacrificing and a self-denying love. Because of this, we have trouble and difficulty, don't we? The Bible teaches me that I am self-loving rather than self-sacrificing. God's love is not in my nature. I am self-loving. And because I am self-loving, I carry with me all of the sinful emotions of self-love. Now, it's quite natural for me, and much easier for me, to manifest the opposites of God's love than it is to produce the fruit of God's love. It is easier for me to show feelings of resentment or discontent or self-pity or anger or contentiousness or strife or envy than it is to show God's fruit of love. And if you notice the verses 19 through 21, prior to verse 22 and 23 here, illustrate that truth, don't they? Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Paul calls them, in verse 19, the works of the flesh. And they are the opposites of the fruit of the Spirit of verses 22 and 23. So it is much easier for me to exhibit these sinful emotions and actions. I can exhibit these works of the flesh without even thinking. Can't you? Can't you? They are natural to me. I am bent and inclined to go this way. That is, the way of the flesh, rather than yield my heart to God's Spirit. Now, this is especially true concerning my relationship to the unlovable. The unlovable. Do you have any in your life? We all have the unlovable in our lives. And on top of this, even those that we do consider lovable have traits that grind and grate and weigh upon us, do they not? So we desperately need, as a child of God, the love of God in our lives. But here is something else we need to consider and to think about. And it's this. Even the natural, unregenerate man can be attracted to and appreciate the lovable. It is easy to love the lovable. Even unsaved men and women can love the lovable. And of course, this is to my shame as a Christian. Anyone can love the lovable. But listen, only a child of God with a submitted, contrite heart to God's Spirit can love the unlovable. This is so because the unlovable provoke me to all sorts of sinful feelings and emotions. This is why Jude tells me, keep myself in the love of God. It is something I must consciously do and obey every day of my life. My Lord and Savior loved the unlovable. He loved the outcasts of society. He loved the poor. He loved the thief. He loved even those that accused him and mistreated him. He even loved his own when they denied him and fled away from him. Is this the kind of love that I, as a child of God, show towards my brethren and sisters, those that mistreat me, those that offend me, those whose personal sins and shortcomings break through and spill forth upon me? You know, A Christian's sins may be repugnant to me. They may be. But do not ever let that Christian himself become repugnant to you. If it does, I am not showing forth the love of my Lord Jesus Christ. I am not producing the fruit of the Spirit. Paul stated in Romans chapter 12 in verse 9, he said this. He said, let love be without dissimulation. Now, that word dissimulation means sincere and genuine. Let love be sincere and genuine. So how do I, as a child of God, show love to another Christian whose actions and attitudes are repugnant to me? How do I do that? Well, this is illustrated to us in our Lord's dealings with one of his own. That is the Apostle Peter. Just before Peter was to deny his Lord, the Lord prophesied to Peter that Peter would indeed deny him shortly. He said to Peter, he said this, "The cock shall not crow, Peter, this day, before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." And how did our Lord respond to this foreknowledge of Peter's sin against him? How did he respond to that? He said, "But, Peter, I have prayed for thee. I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." Is this not a wondrous illustration of God's love for me? The Lord's love for Peter was without dissimulation. His love was sincere. It was genuine. How does God want me to respond to a repugnant, offensive Christian, an unlovable Christian? Well, he desires me to respond to that one just as he himself responded to Peter. He desires for me to pray for him in self-sacrificing love, praying that such a one would grow in grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. In effect, that he would be strengthened and converted. That is, that God would work in that dear one's heart in such a way as to transform him and strengthen him. And dear ones, this act of love, this will do as much for you. It will transform you as much as it will do for the one that you are praying for. Do you understand this? This is a principle that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down, but it must ever be in love. So what can we learn from all of these things? Well, it's this. God's self-sacrificing love is to be the preeminent and distinguishing mark of the Christian. God's man and God's woman will be marked out. They will be marked out by their love. It will be a predominant and clearly seen quality, and it will greatly bless all of those around them, just as Christ's love did when he was on the earth. And we will further learn tonight that this one-of-a-kind love cannot be separated from or divorced from truth. Our Lord was and is full of grace and truth. And so must I. Paul tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love. And it is also all that love produces. Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. By this, I will obey the two great commandments and also Christ's new commandment as well. Do you have it? Do you have it? And most importantly, are you showing it? Are you showing it? As the Apostle John said, he said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but let us love in deed and in truth." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who so manifested and displayed his magnificent love toward each of us who have received him. And not only did he do that, Lord, but he placed his love in our hearts by his Spirit. It is the fruit of his Spirit working in our hearts. Oh, Father, we do pray that we would keep ourselves in the love of God, that we would do so by bringing our hearts to Thee, by judging our hearts openly and contritely before Thee. Only then, Lord, can you show us where we err and what we must do and how we must love. Oh, Father, we do pray this as a group of Thine own, a called out gathering of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would so display the love of God which is in Christ Jesus to one another, that the world would take note, our families would take note, those that we work with would take note, that those who are our relatives would take note, that the love of Christ dwells in us. Shall we hide such a love, Lord? No. We pray Thee that we would display the love of Christ as you work in our hearts and as we bow our hearts to Thee. We pray this in the name and for the glory of that preeminent one, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.